155 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
But mostly movies.
Yeah, it's movies. Let's be honest here, folks.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, and, you know, like our page.
If you feel like because it. Because there's no button for me.
Yeah, there's no button. There's no shrugging the shoulders button. There's also no vomit button, and there's also no rolling the eyes button.
So those, just like it.
Those are the three they need to add: the shrugging the shoulders, the vomit, and the rolling of the eyes. Yeah. That's what they need to add. Our last episode, which we just recorded, was our best and worst of the summer. Not too many terrible movies this summer. Don't go see Pirates 5, We both declared that Dunkirk was the king of the summer. Sorry, ladies, it wasn't Wonder Woman. It was good, but it wasn't the best movie of the summer.
Didn't even crack the list. I thought that might have cracked your list.
I was
pleasantly surprised it did.
Because the thing is like, ultimately, like, as much as I like her and as much as I enjoyed the movie, because I think she's great in the role. I would hope that she has quelled all the doubters, you know, who were like,
I agree with
she's
you.
She's too skinny.
I agree. It was a good movie. It was a solid movie, but it wasn't great.
But ultimately, the second half wasn't very original, ultimately. And you have to take that into account.
Kind of anticlimactic in the end.
A little bit, yeah. Because, I mean, you know.
She was great as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And when she was actually in battle. Those scenes were great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
A lot of it dragged really a little bit for me. So,
Today we're doing our fall movie preview, which I didn't even say that that's what our episode's about. It's our fall movie preview. I guess we can talk about some TV stuff, too, that's coming out, but I'm not even really sure. The only
fall
show that I'm watching right now is The Deuce on HBO.
Yeah, I've watched the pilot already. Yeah. I guess it comes on, it airs tonight.
Right.
And then we saw it online.
Right. And then the next episode will be next week.
Of course, it's fucking Sunday. Yeah, give us more Sunday shows, piece of shit. That's what I need.
Speaking of fall movies, if you're so inclined, Thor tickets are already on sale.
Matt mentioned that to me. I'm like, I'm going to get those the week it comes out.
Like, I mean, it's like, really?
Like, I don't need to buy a movie ticket like I buy a concert ticket.
Right.
It's just
except for Star Wars. I mean, the Star Wars, right.
Star Wars is
saga films.
That will always be...
not even Rogue One.
Exactly. But that'll always be an outlier for us.
But it's like,
I don't need to plan a movie like a concert.
2 months early.
No.
It's like, are you insane? It's Thor.
And you're like, I believe you were like, no more than a month early. And I'm like a week early, maybe.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying we would buy him a month early, but I'm saying that's, to me, for like something like Thor, that's the limit, like a month.
Yeah.
2 months is like Star
Wars.
And
don't get me wrong, I want Taika Waititi to knock it out of the park. Yeah, yeah. I hope the ticket sales just for him alone.
Right.
Great.
Because
he's such a brilliant director in his own right.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 months, like, just stop already.
Yeah, 2 months in advance for Thor.
Anyway.
So, fall movie preview. I posted mine, my written one, on there. Obviously, if you want to go get super in-depth, go check out Entertainment Weekly. They have the whole shebang with every fucking film you can think of coming out in the fall. The first fall movie, though, has already been released, and it made a shit ton of money at the box office, which we discussed last time. And Dirty A has a review.
I saw this one an early screener, and
it's like a day, right? It's like a day early.
It was, but it was, at least it was for free. We're talking about It, which was directed. I can never pronounce the guy's name.
It's like Andy Muschietti or
Muschietti
something.
Muschietti,
like I have it written down right there. Andy, yeah, that's about right. Muschietti.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's not a first time director, but he's pretty close. I mean, he's certainly still a newbie, if you will, to the professional scene. He directed and wrote the screenplay for Mama, which was a horror type of movie that came out several years ago,
and a terrible song by The Police. No, that's Mother.
It's Mother.
That's
a different. That will also be
different movie we'll be discussing.
That will also be coming up next week.
Yes,
can't wait.
Yeah,
but It was a great adaptation This movie was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was a horror movie. It was terrifying at times. It's hard for my gauge of terrifying. It's really hard for the normal audience.
You're so jaded.
I am very jaded with horror movies. I love them, but I don't get scared by much.
Right.
So, you know, I'll say I thought this was pretty creepy.
Right.
I don't know what that means to the general person, such as yourself. Or, you know, you're beyond the general person. Because you don't want to see anything scary. So, horror related.
Yeah. I love
a good
thriller.
But see, this movie, it goes beyond just horror, which is what makes it great. It captures what Stephen King wanted to, mm-hmm. which was it's like a giant metaphor of childhood and becoming a teenager kind of thing.
There's no weird, unfortunately, no weird sex orgy.
Unfortunately, no child orgy, so F minus. Instead, they just group hug it out. You're like, no, that is not what happens here.
Well, maybe they're secretly having sex. You just don't know about
it. So, yeah, if you're not familiar, in the book, when they go down into the sewers after they defeat Pennywise, they have a nice little group orgy where Bev invites them all to have sex with her. Well, it doesn't happen in the movie, of course. So they're going to leave something as controversial
what was
that.
What was the thinking for that? Was it so that pushed them into adulthood
remember,
or something
I don't
like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you talk about the thinking of. I don't know what he thought about when he wrote that. But
well, cocaine.
It's hard to remember. I don't remember all the ins and outs. Right. But it was basically the last piece of the extension of the metaphor. Like,
right.
Oh, look, they're adults now because they have had sex. Kind
right.
of thing. Why he felt the need that was what he needed to tack on at the end.
It's like I said, cocaine.
But yeah,
it's a hell of a drug.
But yeah, they did thankfully leave that out there. Although I did yell that out in the movie. Where's the orgy? The F minus. Probably got some people going, what? But
I'm sure, the boy was horrified. Yeah.
But no, it was very good. The casting is so good.
Mm-hmm. The kids are good.
The kids are great. Right. And it's so funny. It's so much
really?
Funnier than you think it's going to be.
Okay.
It really is like you're stepping into your childhood again and you're
right.
remembering how you acted and, you know, things that you thought were cool. And
because it's set the
okay,
it's
yeah.
set in the 80s, right?
It's, yeah, the movie is, that's the biggest difference, is the movie is set in the 80s versus like the 50s
right.
of the book.
Well, because yeah, because now what will happen is the second part will be set
in present day.
Yeah.
The exact reason for why they decided to do that, other than maybe ease,
yeah.
I'm not sure, but it works fine. The story doesn't detract from the story at all. You don't feel like mm-hmm. oh, like this isn't right. The only odd thing I thought was that like he still got his old 60s looking silver bike. His bike silver
mm-hmm.
that the main character is kind of almost a character to itself in the book
mm.
and it's still like this old bike and you're like yeah well you think you'd have like a BMX or something
yeah
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah
like yeah let's be honest here
yeah
but no everything in the story worked
cool.
and Bill Skarsgård was fucking great
as Pennywise
he really was Tim Curry was great but this was the super scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the it you that will, you know, bring nightmares. But it was very faithful in most other ways.
Hmm.
A couple of differences that I recall, like I don't recall at the end of it that in this movie, it's not like a crazy linchpin, so in this movie towards the end Pennywise captures Bev and takes her into the sewer. I don't think that happened in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just went down there to track him down.
Right.
It wasn't like to go save Bev, I don't believe. But there was nothing for me to nitpick here.
Right.
It was really good. And I was,
good.
For a horror movie, especially an R-rated horror movie, that's hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
This could very easily show up in my top 10 at the end
nice.
Of the year. I mean, I really love this movie because it wasn't just about the horror.
Right.
It was a story. It had a story
right.
to
yeah.
tell. It was faithful to that story.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and obviously say it was original material.
Well, yeah.
But it stayed very true to the story of these kids, which was it was still very funny. You know, they're still kids and they're still having a good time, but just got super crazy and scary and when it needed to. But whether or not you want to see it, I honestly think you should. I don't think it's like crazy scary. But you know, that's up to you, I guess.
Yeah. I may go see it. I don't know, because I like the trailer.
I'd go see it again. It's
really, I mean, the trailer, I mean, I,
you said you gotta take your mom.
I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, she might go with somebody else. I don't know. We'll see, but, we'll see.
It is worth checking out.
It is worth checking out?
That's what I'm saying. It, capital It, is worth checking out.
It. That's the one thing I hated about reading all these stories about it, because I'm just, because the title is just It. And they don't, like in my preview, I capitalized it, just the whole thing, It. Like, and the other things, they're just doing just normal It. And I'm just like,
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Are you using the generic term?
That's a terrible pronoun.
But, I loved it. I don't want to go crazy here.
Nice.
But it's a really good movie.
Good. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, that's the first big movie of the fall.
And it was big. I mean, it opened big.
Yeah, over $100 million, which is huge for a horror movie. It's the biggest horror movie of all time.
Biggest horror movie of all time.
We were talking opening. Yeah, we were talking about before the last episode. I saw this video on Facebook. I don't know what country it's from, but it was from another country, a Spanish-speaking country, I believe. And they were doing like a prank show where they had a kid dressed as Georgie in the ring slicker, and then he's saying to people, "Oh, my thing got lost in the sewer there, the storm drain." And these people go to check it out, and then Pennywise jumps out and freaks them out, and then chases them down the street.
And then
they have them in like a tunnel. And like the balloons just kind of come out, and then he just steps out, and then the people immediately are like, they run away.
You know how I love Halloween.
Right.
And people have been telling me, you should do Pennywise for Halloween. I'm like, no. That's too on point. There's going to be a million Pennywises.
Should be Georgie.
This Halloween. There's going to be a million Pennywises this Halloween. I was like, you could never convince me to do that this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to. You'll float too.
Yeah.
That was like when I went to Dragon Con. I saw this guy and his family. They're dressed as Black Panther. Characters.
I said
you're ahead of the game. I said next year this whole place is gonna be filled with cool ass Black Panther characters after that movie comes out in February, because that movie has a very unique look that I think people, that cosplayers are gonna really cling to.
I don't know if it was real or not, but I saw an article where I think it's British Airways like thought that Lupita was actually from Wakanda.
Oh my god!
It felt like a real place.
Oh my god! Wow! All right. So anyway, moving on. as Dirty mentioned, this week coming up, Darren Aronofsky's next film comes out.
Hell yes!
Mother, starring Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. This is very much in the vein of Black Swan, which won an Oscar.
Maybe. We don't really know that much about
it. That's true, too. It's been described as a psychological horror movie.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, I saw the second trailer. I did not want to.
Right.
And it's a lot more horror elements than Black Swan was, which was just thriller and creepy.
Right.
This one seems to bode more towards the supernatural.
Right. Just based on the trailer I've seen and some of the dialogue that's in the trailer, my belief is that Javier Bardem is like the devil or something like that.
I hope so. That'd
yeah,
be great.
Yeah, I think he's the devil or something like that. And basically what happens is he and Jennifer Lawrence live in this house. And
as my girlfriend says, she goes, the most unrealistic thing about this is, why would Jennifer Lawrence be with Javier Bardem?
Hey, Penelope Cruz is with
him. I know, right?
And she's even more beautiful than Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, that's still very true.
And then basically Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer show up at the house as these unexplained guests Jennifer Lawrence doesn't know who they are, and then all these other people come.
Bunch of ambiguous words are thrown out. Like, they're here to see me.
And they have pictures of him and stuff like that. And like it's like old-timey pictures, stuff like that. Yeah. That's what's making me think that there's something going on in the basement or something.
It makes me wonder if it's a – I hate to spoil this for anybody if it's possible, but it makes me wonder if it's not an Antichrist thing. Mother.
Maybe.
And they're going to
maybe
use her as the conduit to bring the Antichrist.
Maybe.
So it could be something as
that like was, that. But as soon as they were like, oh, they've come to see me and they have pictures of him, and stuff, I'm like, devil, he's the devil.
But that's what makes me wonder if it's not a bringing of the Antichrist in the movie.
But then, we don't really know much about it. I mean, they've been pretty.
I love that this is, and this is Aronofsky at his best. It's got his stamp all over it. I haven't even seen it yet. And just the way the trailers are done, you're like, yep. It's a perfect vehicle for him.
Also, this week is American Assassin, which is
fucking great.
Yes and no.
What?
I mean, the first trailer I liked a lot.
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, Dylan O'Brien plays a guy whose girlfriend or fiance was...
You're right. I have seen the same trailer. And it is...
Yeah. Who was killed by terrorists. So he goes on a quest, basically, to...
And that's right. The second trailer lets you know that they're kind of after him.
No, not just that. It's based on a book by Vince Flynn. And the CIA recruits him, basically. I'm guessing it's CIA. I don't think they said for sure it was CIA.
It's got to be CIA. But it's the CIA.
Some black bag organization, you know... And then Michael Keaton.
And he's trained by Michael Keaton. Who looked great in
trailer. Right. And then, so the first trailer was really cool. And I'm like, oh, this could be a really cool movie. Then we got the second trailer where they bring in Taylor Kitsch, who is the rogue agent who has his hands on a nuke.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of turned into more like generic action movie. And I'm like,
I'm still super looking forward. I'm fine with action movies sometimes. Right. If they're done well. Right. I'm not saying this is going to be some Oscar.
Oh, no, me neither. Movie. Me neither.
But
I just thought it was going to be a little more unique.
Yeah, but it's got some great actors.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
The weekend of the 22nd, a movie I'm really looking forward to, but it seems like a movie that kind of should be like on HBO maybe or something like that, is Battle of the Sexes.
It really does feel like it's more of a HBO original type of movie than it does. And that's not to...
Knock it.
Knock it. No, it just it has that feel to it.
It doesn't have like a feature. It stars Emma Stone and Steve Carell. They play Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. And basically, it's a dramatization of their big tennis match, which was labeled the Battle of the Sexes.
He's just like the ultimate chauvinist.
Yeah.
He challenges her to a tennis match.
But right.
It's all for show. I mean,
right. It's all for sure.
So he's playing a part.
Right.
And she, of course, has to take it serious because it's big for women, right?
And but the other thing is too is that it looks like it's going to go a little bit more behind the scenes because it shows his home life might not be
well. It needs to otherwise, why make it?
Yeah. It looks like his home life is not really matching up with like his bravado. You know, like
well, exactly. Like I said, he's playing a part.
Right.
He probably wasn't that big of an asshole.
And then
I think he just wanted to make money off of it.
It also shows Billie Jean King kind of coming to terms with her sexuality, because she's a lesbian and
her dad's gay,
and her dad's gay. The test don't lie. And no, she's a lesbian, and you can tell from I guess in the beginning of the trailer, or whatever she was married at the time to a man.
Right.
So it's her kind of coming to terms with that and everything like that. So it looks like it's gonna be really good.
Yeah, I'm certain it'll be good, but I actually do agree with you. It really does seem like a movie that would have been on like Showtime or HBO original type of movie. But I'm looking forward to it. I like movies that for events that have happened.
Right.
Kind of. Seen behind the scenes. That's what I'm saying. Like, right. I can't just see the event. I could see that just by
on YouTube.
Yeah, you got to show me something else. So hopefully they do that.
Right. Also, that weekend is a movie that is especially designed to go see in the theater. Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
I won't see either one of those that weekend because I'll be in New Orleans.
Oh, we'll have fun. I'll be seeing them both. Kingsman: The Golden Circle is the sequel to Kingsman. You know what this is. If you saw the original, you know what this is.
It's going to be the same formula.
Pretty much. The biggest problem I have is that they have not hidden for one nanosecond that Colin Firth is in.
They should have. It seems odd that he comes back.
Right.
But they should have made it a secret.
Yeah.
And you go see the movie and you're like, holy shit!
Yeah.
Like, it's a surprise. Why are they doing... Maybe contractually he asked or had to be billed.
Maybe. That's true, too.
Could be, right? He could have said, look, I want to be billed.
Right.
Top billing on this
movie. Because he is top billing. Right. It's not even Taron Egerton.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not top
billing. So, that could be... It could be...
Right.
negotiation and stuff. But from an audience perspective, it sure would have been nice had that been hidden.
Yeah.
I want to see this movie. Love the first one.
Yeah.
I'm not super excited about it, though. Mm-hmm. I'm so over the trailers for it, I can't even see it anymore. If I have to see that trailer one more time. But I'm ready. But I want to see it. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm just not excited
to see it. The week after that, end of September, is a movie that looks really good.
I'm really excited for this one. Like, stupid exciting. That I shouldn't even be this exciting for this movie. I was just telling my girlfriend the other day, I really want to see this movie.
It's from director Doug Liman. It stars Tom Cruise. It's called American Maid.
It looks awesome.
This is the film about a pilot named Barry Seal who was recruited by the CIA basically to establish...
Again, some form of a
historical drama.
Historical drama is in here.
The CIA is represented by Donald Gleason, and he's one of our favorite actors. And Barry Seal basically establishes like the drug trade, basically. And Tom Cruise was...
You want to bring the countries here? What?
Tom Cruise did an interview with somebody, and he basically... It was kind of like how it was with Hacksaw Ridge, where he said, the true story is so crazy, we had to cut stuff out of it to make it believable for the movie.
Right.
So the trailer looks hilarious. It looks really good. I can't wait to see it.
Actually, the first trailer that I've never seen again more than I do the trailer that's on the screen that I see now. Because the one where it shows him crashing, the kids, he's got the...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got the cocaine all over his face.
You didn't see me. The plate's right there. You didn't see me.
He steals the kid's bike.
No, he buys the kid's bike.
He buys it. The movie looks great. It looks hilarious. It looks like... a very fitting movie for Tom Cruise.
Yeah. The most unbelievable thing for me in the trailer is that he's with that woman. Because she's way, way, way younger than him.
Honey, the dog dug up this money in the backyard.
I'll
get to it tomorrow morning. It looks really good. I'm looking forward to it.
First weekend in October is a huge movie for me. And if there wasn't a certain movie coming out in December, this would probably be my most anticipated. In December.
The Greatest Showman on Earth. Yeah,
right.
I hear you.
If a certain movie was coming out in December on the 15th, this would be my most anticipated movie of the fall, and that is Blade Runner 2049.
I'm looking forward to it, but as we all, I've said, stated in the past.
Right.
I don't love the first one.
Right.
Near as much as you. Right. I got to be honest, Doug. I literally rewatched it 2 weeks ago, and I'm still like,
yeah,
I watched that movie, Doug, and I want to review this when we... I think we ought to review both movies when we review this one.
We can do that.
Because...
I'll have to watch it again.
You need to watch it again, man. They leave so much out of that plot of like, what just happened? Why is this happening?
Wait, which one did you watch?
Okay, I've got both recorded. I watched the original first, not the director's cut.
You watched it with the narration.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
And I mean, it's like rushed through that he's in love with this woman, and you're like, okay, I guess he is. Everything's like, okay, I guess this happened. Everything felt so rushed in that movie. I don't know why, other than the fact that it was a sci-fi and the atmosphere was great. I don't see anything great about the plot of that.
The thing about the movie that I think that I love about it is, first of all,
and you know, I don't know if we want to do this now. I apologize.
Yeah. That's fine. But it's the aesthetic, obviously, you know, the atmosphere.
Of course, I'll give it that.
But also, I like it because it's like it's a noir. It's a sci-fi noir story, and it's going to have stuff like that with the femme fatale and all that kind of stuff in it. That's not.
Yeah, I just don't think they give anything time to breathe in that movie in terms of. Okay, I guess he's in love with this woman. Whatever. Right. But I do agree with you. We'll talk about it more in depth though. Ridley Scott's change in the direct, call it a change if you will.
Yeah.
Ruins the point of the movie.
It does. It really does. So it's going to be interesting to see what Denis Villeneuve does in 2049.
So anyway, this is...
It's set 30 years in the future because the original...
2019.
The original Blade Runner was 2019, 2 years from now.
So if you keep going
with those replicants and those freaking ziggurats.
Spaceships and whatnot.
You got to get a lot of work to do.
Better jump on that. Also, you know, that's the other thing about the movie. The plot doesn't even stick to its own rules. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole point of Blade Runner, they're after The replicants are only supposed to help colonize these other mm-hmm. worlds, and if they're found on Earth, they're mm-hmm. supposed to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking all over the place, and people are just like, oh, if they're helping, I guess it's okay. Which is it? Are they supposed to be right. here, or are they not supposed to be here?
Right.
It doesn't
well, the ones
really...
Well, the ones that he goes after are only the ones that escaped. They're the ones that escaped.
True, but they there's references. I know you haven't seen it again. Right. But watch it again. And we'll
okay.
talk about it. So.
Ryan Gosling is the main character in this, and probable replicant.
Which my man crush.
Yeah.
If right. I have a man crush, Ryan Gosling, ever since Drive, that man is just awesome.
And my surrogate father, Harrison Ford, is also in it, reprising his role as Rick Deckard. Jared Leto plays the villain. He's kind of like the Tyrell type guy.
Jared Leto so badly wants to be the Daniel Day-Lewis of his generation. It's not even funny.
We're talking about Daniel Day-Lewis a little bit later.
I went blind for the making of this movie. Because I was playing a blind
did
man.
Did you watch the short film?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's creepy. It's really creepy.
And Jared Leto's a great actor. I just... Right. You're not Daniel Day-Lewis.
He's just a terrible
Stop.
Joker. He's just a terrible
he
Joker.
He is a terrible Joker.
So, yeah. I mean, the film, like we said, is directed by one of our favorites, Denis Villeneuve.
I know it's going to be good just for that alone.
And the cinematography is being done by Roger Deakins, who is a master. You can tell from the trailer.
He's done it all.
Yeah.
He's great.
Except won an Oscar, apparently. Yeah. Which is a crime. But you can tell from the trailer it's going to be a beautiful
movie.
It
looks awesome. Is this an IMAX 3D?
It's not 3D. It's IMAX. It's just 2D. Yeah. I think Villeneuve is going to be...
It even came out in IMAX. I didn't realize that.
Really? They're putting a lot out. IMAX has become the new 3D. Because they're trying to... I think they're starting to get away from 3D.
Good. It's 3D's 2D. Always becomes a fad.
But I think Villeneuve is kind of more in the vein with Christopher Nolan, where if he's gonna put stuff in IMAX, it'll be just 2D, like Nolan does.
Well, Villeneuve, he's proven his work many times over.
Anna de Armas is in this. Dave Bautista and Robin Wright are all in supporting roles. And to me, it looks really, really cool.
It looks good. Very cool. Looking forward to it.
The week after that, you've got on Netflix, you've got Noah Baumbach's new film. Meyerowitz stories, which is supposed to be this like dysfunctional family film. Adam Sandler's in it. Ben Stiller, great cast. Adam Sandler, Dustin Hoffman's in it.
He's like the patriarch.
Yeah, Adam Sandler's good when you give him the right material. And this looks like it could be the right material.
We'll see. I'm not sold on it just yet.
A really sweet movie that I recently watched the trailer for that I do want to see is Goodbye Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Which tells the story of A.A. Milne and how he came up with the idea of Winnie the Pooh and
I'm thinking like a Finding Neverland feel.
I think that's what it's gonna be like. Yeah.
Which was a fantastic movie. So.
Also that week Marshall comes out, which stars Chadwick Boseman, and we've been through this with him before. He played Jackie Robinson, he played James Brown.
Now he's playing
Thurgood Marshall. And we already know that he's a great actor from those two movies. Also, he did a great job as Black Panther
in
Civil War.
Like I just said, I love historical movies, biopic type of movies. So.
Also that week is a film that's very interesting. I saw the trailer for Bruce Willis is doing a Death Wish remake. And then right after that, I saw the trailer for this movie called The Foreigner with Jackie Chan. Now, we were talking about action movies just earlier. This movie looks so much better than the Death Wish movie. It's crazy. Jackie Chan plays a man whose daughter was killed in a terrorist bombing, and he thinks that the Irish government knows who these people were.
Right.
And he's a trained what?
Of course he is.
He's a trained secret agent, right?
Yeah.
And he basically comes into conflict with Pierce Brosnan. I'm watching Death Wish, which is like crazy white man goes on killing spree.
Paint by numbers.
Right.
It's not even going to be a remake. I mean, it is, but the way it looks, it's more of a reimagining than it is a fucking remake.
And then you've got a movie called The Foreigner. I'm like, are these really the films we need in the Donald Trump era? It's not like... You
know. They're the films we deserve.
Right, I guess.
They're not the films we need.
So, but it looks, I mean, The Foreigner actually looks like it'll be a fun action movie, you know, because Jackie Chan hasn't done a whole lot lately.
Well, his body.
Right.
Everything he's done has taken a toll on his body. I mean, but, a lot of people here don't realize how big he,
oh, yeah,
he is in the
China,
foreign
yeah.
market.
Oh, yeah.
In China.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
he is superstar status.
Yeah.
You know, whereas to us, he's just known as kind of a, can do some cool kicks and be a sidekick kind of guy. He's a superstar over there.
Yeah. Also in October is The Snowman, which is an adaptation of Joe Nesbo's novel.
I hope it's good, but it could be a little clownish.
Did you read my preview?
No.
Michael Fassbender plays, the guy's name is Harry Hole, and I'm like, that's a great name. He's a detective trying to find this, what they call the Snowman Killer.
Right.
And then I said, and the supporting cast is Rebecca Ferguson, Chloe Sevigny, I can never say her name, James Darcy, J.K. Simmons, and Val, quote, probably the killer, Kilmer. is in this as well. I never read the book, but, you know, I'm a sucker for a good thriller. So if it's...
Yeah, I hope it's good. It seems like it could be a little schlocky, but we'll see. I'm certainly going to go see it, mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to it. I'm just not going to get my expectations up too high.
This kind of cropped up in the vein of in the wake of Girl with Dragon Tattoo, and
exactly.
all that blowing up, yeah. and so then everyone wanted to do these these Scandinavian
Nordic
Scandinavian mysteries and stuff like that. So this is one of those. At the end of October, a film that I was really looking forward to, but it's not getting good reviews out of the festivals.
I mean, it's getting pretty bad reviews.
Is Suburbicon.
Yeah.
And this is George Clooney. The Coen brothers wrote the screenplay, or they co-wrote the screenplay.
They co-wrote.
And George Clooney's the director. Matt Damon's the star. Julianne Moore's in this.
You think it's a home run?
Oscar Isaac. And it's just not getting great reviews.
They're basically like saying, Coen brothers, it is not.
I don't know.
They basically say he tries to create a Coen Brothers movie, but it does not really succeed.
Right. So I still want to see it. But basically what happens in this film is that there's a home invasion at Matt Damon's house, and then he gets pulled into the dark underbelly of suburbia.
he basically starts fighting organized crime.
Right, yeah.
Single-handedly.
Right. The Killing of a Sacred Deer comes out.
We talked about that in the last episode.
We talked about that in the last episode.
Cannot wait.
That's from Yorgos Lanthimos, who was the director of one of our favorite movies of, last year, I guess?
Yeah, the Lobster. The Lobster was awesome.
And this movie is going to be very different from that. Colin Farrell is also in this, as he was in The Lobster. Nicole Kidman's in it. He plays a surgeon who gets kind of involved in the life of this kid named Martin, who is played by Dunkirk's Barry Keoghan. And then the kid starts displaying some kind of sinister behavior as
I can't wait.
Goes on.
It's gonna be fucking great.
very beginning of November, get your tickets now. Thor Ragnarok. Which looks great. It looks great.
Yeah, Taika Waititi helming this one.
Yep.
His first major budget
picture.
And yeah. By all accounts right now, it looks like it's going to be a home run.
Yeah.
I mean, trailers look really good for
looks
it. It's
great.
Getting good press, at least.
They're saying that this movie will affect the Marvel Universe, cinematic universe.
20 years to come.
Like, the same way the Winter Soldier did.
Yeah.
So that sells it for me. Hulk's in it. Thor's in it.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum's in it.
can't wait. The Game Master.
And Cate Blanchett is the villain as Hela. It looks great. You can just look at the trailer.
Yeah, it really does.
Also, that week is Last Flag Flying, which is from Richard Linklater. And,
you know what to expect from Richard Linklater.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this trailer is it doesn't really look a lot like his films. It looks very different. You liked his last one. I didn't see it. Everybody Wants Some.
I thought it was really good.
I didn't get to see that.
It wasn't great. Wasn't fantastic, but I thought it was really good.
Boyhood we liked, but we thought it was really overrated.
I mean, the story was fine, but like the kitsch of it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that is an amazing thing to do,
right.
But what it translates to on screen is just okay.
Yeah. Last Flag Flying, it stars Bryan Cranston, Steve Carell, and Lawrence Fishburne. As Vietnam
buddies,
Vietnam
Army
vets,
buddies.
Yeah, Vietnam vets who were buddies in the war, and they come together to basically bury Steve Carell's
That's
son,
right.
who was a soldier in Iraq, and it looks like it's going to be really good. It looks like it's going to be a nice camaraderie between the three of them. Funny movie, probably more of a dark comedy considering the subject matter, but it looks great. I'm really looking forward to that one.
I haven't seen the trailer, but the subject matter, it certainly seems like something that would lend itself to what Linklater could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what he does. He makes little slice of,
right.
of life type of movies.
Right.
And makes them feel very personal.
Right.
So.
The week after that is a movie that we've been looking forward to since we saw the trailer during the summer.
And I only seen it once.
Yeah. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
It's hilarious.
This is from Martin McDonagh, who was the filmmaker between In Bruges and
we got a little confused at one point.
Yeah, we combined him with the other guy that did Cavalry.
Yeah.
Something else. He did something else. Oh, and The Guard.
Right.
He did those two movies.
You haven't seen that yet, man. You gotta see it. So good.
He did those two movies, and Martin McDonagh did In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths.
Yeah. Which In Bruges is brilliant.
Yeah, In Bruges is fantastic. And basically what happens is Frances McDormand plays a woman whose daughter was murdered, and the police are kind of dragging their feet on, finding the killer. So she puts up these three billboards, basically calling out the sheriff, who's played by, Woody Harrelson, and, Sam Rockwell's in this, and Peter Dinklage is in this, John Hawkes, Lucas Hedges, who was in Manchester by the Sea last year.
Right.
He's in this. So great, great cast.
Yeah, she looks hysterical
yeah.
based on the trailer that we saw.
It looks great. It looks really great. Really looking forward to that one. Murder on the Orient Express comes out.
I'm looking forward to that. That's one this year. I really want to see what they do with that.
That's an all-star right, adaptation yeah. of Agatha Christie's, probably most famous novel, Whodunit.
For sure.
Kenneth Branagh is the director and the star. He yeah. plays Hercule
Poirot.
I can never pronounce his name, but yeah. The cast is incredible. It's got Johnny Depp, Willem Dafoe, Daisy Ridley.
Yep.
Josh Gad, Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's just a who's who
yeah.
of Hollywood almost. It feels to me, I think I've said this before, the trailer feels to me like it's going to be like a darker
take on
Clue. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Like it's like Clue, but it's not a comedy.
Maybe.
And I think it looks great.
That same week is probably going to be the best movie of the year. Daddy's Home 2.
Definitely. I mean, we've been looking forward to this for 2 years now.
The first one was, kind of mediocre, but I'm sorry, this trailer made me laugh.
It does, but I think it's more probably the way the trailer is cut and edited.
Probably.
More so than the movie's going to make you laugh.
Yeah,
because just the juxtaposition of the dads.
Yeah.
Which is the whole kitsch of the movie.
Right. Mel Gibson plays Mark Wahlberg's father, and Mark Wahlberg is afraid that he's going to ruin Christmas as they're having a joint Christmas between him and Will Ferrell and their families. And then John Lithgow plays Will Ferrell's father.
In the trailer, it shows them both come down the escalator, and Mel Gibson comes down first, like, back in black or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, to AC/DC, yeah.
And then here comes John Lithgow to the carpenter. It's like, love will keep us together. And he's, like, smiling and waving real big.
Was that the song?
I think it was.
Because it was like, boom, boom, boom,
I think that's the song.
Oh, it is?
I think
okay.
that's the song.
That part's hilarious. The first one, like I said, was kind of pedestrian. It had one really, really funny scene at the basketball game.
Yeah.
God, that was amazing.
This was going to be more of the same. Let's
yeah.
be honest.
Probably,
but,
yeah.
It'll be a good laugh, I'm sure.
The 17th of November is the big one for DC, Justice League. They're hoping for some of that Wonder Woman magic to rub off.
It needs to get here quick because I'm losing... I'm literally every day losing more and more interest.
The Batman played by Ben Affleck for now, and Wonder Woman played by Gal Gadot. They need to assemble the Justice League, which is Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman, and Superman,
yeah, and whatever
Green Lantern yeah. possibly. We don't know.
The news trailer did look pretty damn funny. I know it's not supposed to be, but they
yeah.
really it highlighted Barry Allen's humor.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
good in the new trailer.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, they do that. They're like
yeah.
all gone.
That's
the
rude.
Flash is still
That's rude.
That's rude. He's like takes off. What does he say? Because I've never really fought anybody before. I normally just
push
real
people.
Hard.
No, he goes, you guys look like you're ready to do battle.
Yeah.
I don't really do battle.
I just push.
I just run fast and push.
Yeah. That's really funny.
They assemble to fight Steppenwolf, who's played by Ciaran Hinds, and he is basically the harbinger of Darkseid.
On the Magic Corporate Rider.
Right. We don't know if he's going. If we don't know if Darkseid's going to be in this. The big story, though, is all the behind the scenes stuff that's going on.
I have a feeling it'll be more allusion to Darkseid, and then probably. Superman will be
probably The other thing is that all the behind the scenes drama that's gone on with this film. Zack Snyder had a family tragedy, and Joss Whedon stepped in to punch up the script, which he punched it up enough that now he has a credit.
He's got writing credits now, so which means he did pretty significant.
He did a significant rewrite on the script, and then they did a bunch of reshoots. Zack Snyder is still going to be the director, I believe, listed as a director, but Joss Whedon definitely got a screenwriting credit. Probably, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a producing credit, possibly.
Probably, I think it's... He probably should get some directing credit, but maybe out of respect for Zack and what's happened, they'll keep that.
But they're clearly trying to re-steer the ship more towards the Wonder Woman tone. Than Batman versus
Shocking.
Superman.
Shocking. Yeah. Like, now you're going to do that, fuckers.
Yeah. Also, that same day, Wonder with Human Baby Groot, Jacob Tremblay, comes out.
The tearjerker of the fall is upon us.
He plays, it's based on a novel. You know who's directing that movie? I didn't know this. Stephen Chbosky, who was the author, screenwriter, and director of Perks of Being a Wallflower.
He's directing this adaptation. I did hear that. That's good. Yeah. I love that adaptation.
Jacob Tremblay plays a little boy named Augie, who has, he has like a facial disfigurement, and he goes to elementary school for the first time in fifth grade, and basically it's how he deals with the bullies and all that kind of stuff. Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson play his parents.
That explains the facial problems.
Wow. And it looks like it could either it could be either be a heartwarming tearjerker or total schmaltzy schlock. Yeah. So we'll see where it goes.
They're certainly going for a heartwarming tearjerker.
They don't want schmaltzy schlock.
They're probably looking Oscar bait.
But we'll see. We'll see. Also coming out that day, it's going to be in theaters and on Netflix, is a film called Mudbound.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, you need to check out the trailer for this. In the festival circuit, it's being hailed as possibly the best movie of the year.
What?
It's Garrett Hedlund and Jason Mitchell, who played Eazy-E in the NWA film.
Uh-huh, okay.
And they're World War II veterans who come back to rural Mississippi, where they deal with getting over PTSD, and the racism that permeates.
It's fucking Mississippi.
The South, yeah.
Say no more.
Jason Clarke's in it, Jonathan Banks and Carey Mulligan, and Mary J. Blige, who makes, I don't know if it's her acting debut, but.
I've never heard of her anything before. So.
But they say she's great in it. It's directed by Dee Rees.
Good.
And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm glad it's going to be on Netflix.
I have not heard of that one.
Because that's a film that.
Oh, it's the Netflix.
It's Netflix, but it's also going to be in theaters. Because they're putting it in theaters for Oscar consideration.
They're doing cross promotion.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm really looking forward to that one. The 22nd of November, Pixar's Coco comes out.
Okay.
The only thing I'm hoping is that it's not a complete ripoff of The Book of Life.
Okay. It's not that I have zero interest, but I'm in no way looking forward to it.
You're more interested in Incredibles 2, which comes out next summer.
For sure. Who isn't?
Also, that week, Molly's Game with Jessica Chastain.
You seem more interested in this than I did.
Did you see Jessica Chastain in the trailer?
I can see Jessica Chastain anytime I want. Well, I want to see a good movie, too.
It's based on the book by Molly Bloom, which was her memoir, basically.
Yeah, it's a true story.
Based on a true story, where she ran, but she said she changed all the other names in the book.
Anonymity.
And it's about how she ran this high-stakes poker game, which had celebrities and politicians and all these powerful people in it, and then how she deals with the fallout of the FBI coming looking for her. Yeah, so it's a real-life story. Idris Elba's in it.
It's a, feminist stance type of movie.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to break into doing things that are stereotypically in that industry have been done by
men.
Got men that won't allow her to do anything more than
look pretty
face.
Right.
She's like, fuck that. I'll do it myself.
Exactly. Kevin Costner's in it. Michael Cera. A bunch of other people are in this. I think it looks good. The other reason why it's a big deal also is because this is the directorial debut of Aaron Sorkin.
Oh,
and he wrote the screenplay.
Yeah,
It's I'm interested to see what's
I up. Wasn't drawn in by the trailer so much, right. But I'm not saying there'll be a bad movie.
Also, that same week is Darkest Hour, which is basically the Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill film,
yeah,
which he looks
should
great.
Be pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks great. After that, we got The Current War, which
That's the one. Is that the one with Tesla and?
Yeah, it's Benedict Cumberbatch and
okay.
Michael Shannon as George Westinghouse. Cumberbatch plays Edison. Nicholas Holt plays Tesla in the film.
You can see one of our, one of the people that we look up to as a founding father being a real piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And
apparently Thomas Edison is a real piece of shit.
The review, I think Collider gave it, they saw it at Toronto just this weekend, and Collider didn't give it a real glowing review.
Oh, no?
No pun intended.
Ah, yeah.
But it looks good. I mean, I still want to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Also that week is a film that's getting a lot of Oscar buzz, which is, this is the Moonlight film of the year.
I saw the trailer for this, and
I'm not sure if it's a movie I'm going to be interested really in seeing.
I'll watch it because it's going to be Oscar worthy. I should say I'll do my best to watch it.
It's called Call Me By Your Name, which is basically this gay romance film, basically.
Yeah, it's like
kind of like
Emma, it's a coming out story.
Yeah, coming of age story for the kid played by Timothy Chalamet.
The trailer didn't do a lot for me, but it's I got certainly like a foreign film.
Yeah. Armie Hammer plays this guy who basically he's a student who lives with this family in Italy, and they're like an Italian American Italian family, and he and the son played by Timothy Chalamet have some relationship that
not his son.
No, not his son. Michael Stuhlbarg's son. Hi. And they have in a relationship.
Yeah, they start up budding a friendship, and it becomes more.
Yeah.
Maybe the closer it gets, the more I hear about it. Yeah. I may get more interested.
But it's gotten rave reviews, yeah. much like Moonlight did last year for similar themes.
Cool.
The beginning of December is a movie that I'm not sure what to make of it, but I'm definitely gonna go see it. James Franco's The Disaster Artist.
Oh, hi, James.
This is basically a behind-the-scenes film about the making of what's considered to be probably the worst movie ever made, which is The Room. Not Room with Brie Larson and Jacob Tremblay. The Room by Tommy Wiseau. This movie is awful. The Room. Not The Disaster Artist. James Franco will play Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, he Tommy Wiseau wrote, directed, and produced this movie himself.
The Room, yeah.
The Room, yeah.
And it's god-awful. And it became like a cult film in L.A. where people would pass like DVDs of it around, and then it kind of became like a cult film throughout the whole country. And Riff Trax has done it, and which was hilarious. That's when I saw it. That's when I saw the film. And it's
amazing. It's amazingly bad.
Yeah. And but the thing is, Tommy Wiseau is involved with this movie, The Disaster Artist.
He's finally realizing, or at least realized he can capitalize on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, originally, got to understand, The Room, it's not meant to be like a comedy.
No, it's not.
It's not meant to be a terrible movie.
No, yeah.
Tommy Wiseau still thinks it's a great movie. That he starred in, but it's really bad, and I think he's finally coming to terms with the fact that this is just going to be his legacy. So I think he's just rolling into it.
So I'm not sure exactly what The Disaster Artist is going to be, because the trailer is basically just them filming one scene, probably one of the most infamous scenes in the movie, and how many takes it took to get it done. It was like 87 takes or something like that, or 37 or something.
They're, at the end, they're all like, oh my God, he finally got it. It's a terrible take, but yeah. At least they're like, you got the lines right. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a satire or if it's like a real honest to God behind the scenes, you know.
I would imagine it's got to be a satire.
I would hope so.
But it's honestly, it's probably a satire in that that's truly what it was. I mean,
yeah.
Probably it's both. It's probably both in one, yeah.
The week after that is a movie that a lot of the critics coming out of the festivals are saying is the best movie of the year. And this is Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water.
I mean, I can't think of a more original movie.
They said it was going to be like a horror movie, but it's not. It's more like
it's a sci-fi fairy tale. Yeah,
much like a little bit like Pan's Labyrinth, but I think Pan's Labyrinth was more horror than this is. Sally Hawkins plays Elisa, who is a mute woman who is like a custodian at this government facility. And it's set in it's the 60s, isn't it? 60s during the Cold War.
I think it's the 60s.
Late 50s, yeah, early 60s, yeah. At the height of the Cold War. Zelda is Octavia Spencer. Octavia Spencer plays Zelda, her coworker. And they stumble onto this experiment that's going on at this government facility. And it's this amphibious creature played by Doug Jones, who is in all Guillermo del Toro's. Yeah,
he's a lot like Andy Serkis.
He does a lot of creature work. Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny that he's playing this creature because you could pretty much say it's Abe Sapien from
Hellboy,
which
yeah, absolutely.
He played in Hellboy. Except he didn't do the voice. What's his face? Niles from Frasier did the voice. Michael Shannon's in this. Michael Stuhlbarg, Richard Jenkins is in this.
I'm super excited.
The trailer is very sparse. It doesn't show you a whole lot. I would say the poster probably shows you more than the trailer.
I thought the trailer gave a pretty good bit of the what
I guess. They were going I mean, for. But it's it, but critics are hailing it as it's the best movie
of
the year.
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited for it too. It's good to see Guillermo del Toro.
This is the kind of movie he thrives at, he excels at.
Because we were pretty disappointed by Crimson Peak. Crimson Peak was kind of a flop.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that one.
And this is right back in his wheelhouse. Right. So I'm excited to see it too. The week after that is a little movie that we're kind of interested in seeing. I don't know. It's called The Last Jedi. We might go see it.
I don't know. It's like some religious cult thing.
Sounds kind of shit.
I don't know.
This is episode 8, written and directed by Rian Johnson, who is, for my money, one of my favorite filmmakers, although he hasn't made a ton of movies. He did Brick, he did Looper.
Really good.
I watched the trailer again for Brick last night. That movie's so good. It's so freaking good. And Looper's great, too.
It's pretty decent. I would say Looper's
more mainstream.
Yeah, for sure.
More mainstream. Yeah. You know what this is. It's the sequel to The Force Awakens. It's a continuing adventure.
Sideshow Bob.
It's a continuing adventures of Daisy Ridley's Rey, and now she's brought Luke Skywalker into the fold, played by Mark Hamill. And Rian Johnson finally revealed that, kind of without saying duh, The Last Jedi is Luke Skywalker. Because, first of all, it's in the crawl of The Force Awakens, and second of all, in the trailer he says the only truth I know is that it's time for the Jedi to end.
Are you ready for the spoiler? It's syphilis.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
syphilis.
They all died of syphilis, and he's going to end the reign of syphilis among the Jedi by.
So this is for me personally, this is my most anticipated film of not just the fall, but of the year.
Of course. I mean, how can it not be?
I can't wait to see it. Yeah. And I'm really excited because Rian Johnson's involvement. I was really excited when they signed him on to do it. And hopefully he will be directing 9 as well. The week after that is...
I can't believe they got the voice of the Joker to be in the movie. It's crazy. It's like, wow. You got that guy?
From what I understand, he's a pretty good actor.
You got that guy?
He's also good in a bear suit as well.
right.
The week after that is a few movies that I'm looking forward to. Steven Spielberg's next one, The Post, starring your favorite actress of all time.
Whatever.
Meryl Streep.
Whatever. I'm out.
No, it's Meryl Streep. It's Tom Hanks.
I've got to see it.
There's a whole ton of actors in this.
I'll bring my barf bag.
It's basically about how the Washington Post fought against the U.S. government to publish the Pentagon Papers, which basically detailed the U.S. plan in Vietnam and what really happened in Vietnam. This movie, Spielberg basically fast-tracked this kind of after Trump the election, because this very much is about speaking to power and all that kind of stuff, and stuff that's very relevant today. It should be definitely in the mix for the Oscars, I'm sure.
Right.
Another movie that's coming out on Netflix exclusively is David Ayer's Bright, which was
whatever
based on a screenplay
called Alien Nation. Check it out. Yeah. That's what this is. Fuck you. It's been done.
It's a script by Max Landis, and it basically posits that the modern day world is basically combined with this high fantasy world of elves and orcs and stuff like that. Joel Edgerton plays an orc who has been assigned to partner with Will Smith, who's a cop.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, right. And then they stumble onto a bigger
plot. Then James Caan comes in and
Who played the alien?
I can't remember.
It was Manny Patinkin. It was Manny Patinkin.
You're right. It was.
It was Manny Patinkin.
But which I enjoyed Alienation.
Yeah, yeah.
This movie looks like crap. The trailer, I think.
Based on the first trailer, I'm not gonna go on that yet because you know how much effects have been finished and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious to see it though. But it is gonna be on Netflix.
Right.
And another movie that comes out that same week that I'm really looking forward to.
Also, not getting glowing reviews.
Really?
Mm-mm.
It's not.
Nope.
I thought it was getting good reviews.
No.
It's by Alexander Payne, who I love as a filmmaker. It's called Downsizing.
Yeah, Matt Damon.
And Matt Damon stars in it. Christoph Waltz, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it too. I still am, but it's not getting good reviews.
It's a sci-fi comedy where scientists have solved overpopulation by their shrinking people down to 5 inches. And then it's this journey of discovery that Matt Damon's character goes on.
It essentially, from what I'm hearing about it, is it's a short story at best.
Right.
That's kind of stretched into a full movie.
Full movie,
yeah.
That's disappointing to hear. And then Christmas, I totally forgot in my preview to put Jumanji. The new Jumanji movie comes out, I think, around
Jumanji.
Christmas.
Jumanji. There's a lion in my house.
So I mean, I'll probably go see Jumanji. I really don't have a lot of interest in it.
I think it looks pretty decent.
The Greatest Showman, as you mentioned earlier, comes out. That's Hugh Jackman as P.T. Barnum.
No thanks. It's a musical.
More than likely, I will probably skip it. But
tapping it out.
I threw it on there because it's going to be.
I think it's going to be Moulin Rouge all over again.
Maybe. But the biggest movie that I'm interested in seeing that we probably won't get to see until next year is a movie we know barely anything about. As of right now, it's called The Phantom Thread. That could change. This is P.T. Anderson's latest film, and it could be, supposedly, it's going to be Daniel Day-Lewis's final film.
Yep, that's the theory.
And it's set in the 1950s.
Well, it's not really theory. I mean,
he said he's going to retire, but so did Anthony Hopkins, right. And so Stephen King was going to retire.
And Daniel Day-Lewis is not the age of Anthony Hopkins, so he could easily get the bug again and decide to do something else.
It's set in the world of 1950s London fashion world, and basically I think Daniel Day-Lewis plays like this.
Supermodel. He has gone over full reconstructive surgery in true Daniel Day-Lewis fashion to become the next supermodel.
He plays like a tailor who makes clothes for like royalty and high fashion and. We'll see what it's about. I mean, that's pretty much that's literally all we know about this movie.
That's it.
For
all I know, that there's some murder involved. I don't know.
Maybe it's P.T. Anderson, so I'm going to go see it.
It could go so many different directions.
His last film was Inherent Vice, which was a very weird movie, but we liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. So I'm really, really interested to see it. That's supposedly coming out at Christmas time, but we'll see. We might just be seeing Last Jedi again. any movie besides Star Wars?
I don't even know. I didn't.
I guess
I didn't look at a full look watch list, so
I guess
you've covered most of everything.
I guess aside from Star Wars, the one you're probably looking forward to most is Shape of Water, I guess.
Oh yeah. Super looking forward to that. It looks
I'm really looking forward to that too.
I'm more intrigued in that movie than any other than anything coming out. If for no other reason, just look how original it looks.
Yeah, yeah. And for me it's Blade Runner, mainly because it's a sequel to a movie that I really enjoyed. But mainly, it's Denis Villeneuve.
You and everyone else are wrong. you're so wrong.
It's Denis Villeneuve.
It's going to be great because that guy, is just, he hasn't done anything. I mean, the worst thing he's done, quote-unquote worst, is Enemy. And that's just because it's so hard to follow everything that's going on.
But the other thing is, too, is I'd say the more we talk about Enemy, the more we like it.
That's what I'm saying. that's why I say, quote-unquote, the worst. But
Downsizing, based on 13 critics so far, it's got a 79 on Metacritic, which is good. So.
Oh, that's not bad. I've seen three reviews so far.
They said it
was just, just borderline.
Owen Gleiberman of Variety gave it a 90.
Okay, well, I trust that's good. Yeah. That makes me feel better.
Because I love Alexander Payne. I mean, he does great stuff, and his one that I've never seen is About Schmidt. I've never seen About Schmidt.
I saw About Schmidt.
You saw Sideways, right?
I saw. I really like Sideways. And anyway,
Descendants? Did you see The Descendants?
Yeah, I saw that was stuff. That's between that and Sideways, probably. One of those would be my favorite.
Descendants is great.
I like this.
Election's really good.
Yeah. Oh God, I forgot about Election.
You did Election too.
Mid-90s, right?
Something like that. Late '90s.
Yeah, Nebraska was very fun.
And I think you liked Nebraska more than I did, but I did like Nebraska a whole lot.
I did.
June Squibb.
June Squibb carried that movie so far. It was ridiculous. Yeah. But yeah, that was fun. Bruce Stern.
Yeah. So that'll do it for our fall movie preview. It looks like there's a lot of stuff that is potentially going to be great, but of course you never know.
Well, everything always has potential.
That's true. That's true. We thought Logan Lucky was going to be like the movie of the summer, and it kind of fell flat for us.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't great either.
It was we maybe had too high expectations.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, we'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we're going to go. Here we go.